Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 31. I encourage you to take notes. Now, before we do this, let me go through these three scriptures once again, because it's really important. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says, the Father had appointed Jesus heir of all things. Now, when he said heir, he meant heir. Dominion was really originally given to Adam, and when Adam fell, that dominion was given over to the devil. He stole it by default. And we know that the Lord came to restore man and restore that dominion. And to do that, he had to birth a brand new breed of people, because Adam's race, the law of sin and death, had entered into that. Death passed upon all men, and God needed to birth a brand new breed, or a new creation, as Roman calls it. So Christ had to die, and when he was buried, he stood in the position of man, and when he was buried, that entire race of man was buried with him in a positional sense. When God raised him from the dead, he raised him in newness of life, sat him at his own right hand of God. And as soon as he did that, the very second he was sat at the right hand of God, the Father reassigned all the dominion. He reassigned him heir of the entire world. He assigned him heir of all things. He is the heir. And that's exactly what happens to you and I also when we were born again. You know, water baptism, we died, we were submerged in water. That was our old man. And when we were raised in newness of life. You are a new creation when you were raised. You're no longer a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. But if you were just a sinner, you could not sit with him. He said, he raised you together, made you sit together in heavenly places. A sinner can't sit there, not in nature. Do you understand what I mean? He changed that. You're a new creation. It's that new creation that sits with him and has been given a right as joint heirship with him. Now, in his resurrected state, he comes to the disciples after his resurrection, Matthew 28. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Say all. Power, heaven and earth, the Father gave it to him. Nobody has a problem with that, but we got to get that to manifest here. Now, Revelation 5 says, worthy is the Lamb that received power, received riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Which one of those inheritances did he not have before he came here? He had all that. He received all that on the behalf of his church, on the behalf of his bride, on the behalf of his heirs, on the behalf of the new creations. He received all that in the right hand so he could share that with you. That is the hope of his calling, that the inheritance he received on the behalf of the saints would be transferred here into the earth. That's what God wants to do. And he wants to harvest the earth too. I'll tell you another inheritance he received. And that was of Ephesians 4. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and received gifts from men. The Father gave him the entire government. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. The Father gave him those governmental offices that he had the authority through the Holy Spirit to assign to man. And that's a calling that comes directly from the Lord, from the right hand of God. Okay? He also received the nations as his inheritance. And this is where the salvation's going to come. Because God is about to harvest in a major, major way. And he said, I've set my king, this is Psalms 2, on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. He goes, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Well, Acts 13:33, around 33, says, and Paul was speaking of that very scripture, said that that scripture was referencing him being raised from the dead and his resurrection. This day I've begotten thee, thou art my son, I've raised you, and I've set you on the holy hill of Zion, I've set you in the right hand of God. And once he set into the right hand of God, guess what he asked him? Now, son, ask of me, son. Father is saying to the son, ask of me now. I've appointed you heir of all things. Ask me for the nations as thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of thy possession. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the lost souls of men. They're going to be harvested. That is your inheritance. Guess who he uses to do that? You and I. Now, we do that in different levels, but we're going to learn to do it in God's level. Because when we get the mighty person of the Holy Spirit involved with us, not just in a ministry, but personally too, I'm learning how to unlock him. I'm learning how to get out of the way. I'm learning what the highest form of unbelief is. You know what the highest form of unbelief is? Stepping into his position. Stepping into what he was mandated by the Lord Jesus Christ to do. We step into it and say, well, I don't do that. You do it when you internalize, because he's in you and he's got to flow out of you. And when you internalize something that he's called to do and you're internalizing it in a position of fear, worry, anxiety, when you internalize it because you really have not really, really settled that that's his ministry. So I got to kind of help out. If I'm internalizing, then a part of me feels responsible, like he can't do that. So I got to help him. As soon as you do that, you block him right there. So with all that said, let's go to Acts 2. If you get this, you're going to get a lot in this life, I promise you. Acts 2:31. He seeing there before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Very important. You can put eyewitnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, watch this, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. He receives the promise of the Holy Ghost in the right hand of God before the Holy Ghost is sent into the earth. And there's a reason why the Holy Spirit came from the Father to the right hand of God before he came here. Amen. Okay, go to John 16. Verse 13, now speaking of the Holy Spirit, he's referenced in chapter 14, 15, and 16 about four different times. He's called the Comforter. He's a lawyer. He's a paraclete. He's one that stands by you. He is your representative. He's your helper. He's the mighty Holy Spirit. He's your teacher, your guide. There's a lot of different functions that he has, but you need to know what he brought with him. And I'll tell you why the enemy has divided the camps. It's because he wanted to divide that ministry out. You see, if we just are comfortable with being born again and having some knowledge of God, I'll tell you what happens with that. We'll not ever be effective. We'll get to heaven, get others to heaven, but we won't do it God's way. Because the Holy Spirit's what's carrying it all. And we need to know what his ministry is and what our ministry is. Amen? So look at John 16, verse 13. Howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Where do you think he was guiding you to? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. His first mission was to teach you of who Christ is, where Christ is, and how to come to the Father, because your inheritance is in the right hand of God. He'll guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So he doesn't come to represent himself. That's very important. Notice verse 14. He shall glorify me. He did not come and he was not sent from the Lord. Remember, he came into the right hand of God and the Lord sent him into the church. And Jesus, he says, I will send him to you. First, he says, the Father will send him to you in my name. In chapter 14. But see, he did. The Father sent him to Christ. And then Christ sends him to the church. Okay? But he says, he will not glorify himself. He's not coming to glorify himself. That's very important. Not his ministry. Even though he is a third member of the Godhead, he's co-equal with God. He does not come to glorify himself. Not right now. His ministry is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why anybody tries to worship him, you can't do that very long. You're going to get a very uneasy feeling because he's going to turn that right now to the Lord. He's been sent to glorify the Lord Jesus right now. He's sent to be your helper, your teacher. You're both in a co-laboring position with him and you're under his authority because he's been sent to the church as a major gift. That's why every time in the book of Acts, the first thing they said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Said, no, we just believe. We're born again. No, you need the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's going to help us do this. They knew him. They knew him very well in the early church. And we're going to get to know him very well. The Lord told them, wait in Zion till you be endued on with power. Wait till you get endued with power. Wait on him. Don't go try to do it by yourself. That's what's wrong with the church. We're trying to do it by ourselves. We get born again and we go out in the business world and we keep trying to do it by ourselves. Every time we encounter problems, we internalize it like that's your responsibility or something. Who received the riches on your behalf? Worthy is the Lamb that received riches. He blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What did he say in Philippians? And God shall supply all of your need according to his riches. Where? In glory, where he received them. We got to learn to get him out of glory here. That's great that he received them there, but that's not doing us any good until we get them here. Somebody has a problem with that. Whatever problem you have with the gospel, that part of the gospel won't manifest in your life. Whatever part you receive, that's what will manifest. I want all seven inheritances and everything else. If I can see it, I'm going to testify of it. If I testify of it, the Holy Spirit will manifest it. If I can't see it, if I block it, if I'm believing wrong and I don't testify of it, guess what? He won't manifest. He works with you. And that is his ministry, by the way. Who's supplying your need? According to his riches, where? All right, let's see who has that ministry. He shall glorify me. What's he going to do? This is a big verse right here. He shall receive of mine. What do you think he's receiving when he said he shall receive of mine? He received the entire inheritance that Jesus received from the Father. Why did he give it to the Holy Ghost? He's going to receive of mine and he will glorify me. All that the Father has is mine. But he's going to take a mine and he's going to show it to you. If you got an amplified, it says he's going to declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. He's been given the ministry of transmittance. He's been given the ministry of materialization, of manifestation. He's going to bring that which is spiritual into manifestation here and materialize it. That's his job. And if we don't know how to co-labor with him, we're not going to get any of that. We're going to keep wondering why God offers all this for us and we don't know how to get it down here. Man, that's good preaching. Everyone say amen. Amen, brother. Amen. I'll just say amen myself today because I'm feeling it. He will receive of that inheritance. That's his job to manifest it. It's not your job. You've got to get that down. Boy, when he divided that with a revelation, it came like lightning. I never had lightning come through me like that. The word of God came into me like lightning. And I mean, it's like a bolt. And he totally separated what was my responsibility and what was his. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I can't do it. It's going to have to be God. What they do is they go sit over here and say, God, whenever you're ready, I'll just wait on you. I can't do it. That's right, you can't, but you do have a position of co-laboring with him. He can't do it without you either. And he's not going to do it without his church. He's waiting on you, and we're getting in his way. We either block him because we simply don't believe it, or we block him because somehow we internalize what is his ministry. I'm going to tell you what your ministry is today, and I'm going to show you, Lord willing, the Lord himself walked in this. But the Lord walked in this. The Lord knew what his position was. He knew what he could do and what he could not do. No, the Lord could do all things. Oh, no, not when he first came here. He said it himself about 15 times in the book of John. I can do nothing of myself. Do you realize if the Son of God performed one miracle in his deity, you could never obtain to that operation? Because you'll never be equal in his deity. So if he performed it from his deity, when he said, the works that I do, you'll do also and greater than these because I go to the Father, you couldn't do it. Not if he did it in his deity, because we will never be equal to him in his deity. So we couldn't function. He didn't come like that. He came submitted to the Father. But you have a responsibility. And he has a responsibility. Now, I'm a preacher. I'll try to explain this in preacher language, then I'll explain it to you in businessman's language. I'm a preacher, and we preachers, when we minister, we like to see God manifest. We like the services to be full. We don't like them to be flat. We don't like them to be dead. Well, this preacher anyway. And I want to see his fullness. But sometimes, because we want it so badly, sometimes we'll get a little anxiety going. We want to try to generate something. We'll internalize things. And what you don't know, what I didn't know when I was doing that, is somehow, is it his ministry to produce the presence, the glory, the power? Or is it my ministry? Well, it's his. He's going to actually produce what you feel. You ain't feeling me. You're feeling him. You can go to a church that may not have the presence of God working, and you can walk right from over there. It could be a half a mile away. Good knowledge, all that, but they just don't have that presence of the Holy Spirit in there. And you come in here and the presence there, and you're going, well, how come if it's a half a mile away, if he's omnipresent, why can't he manifest there and manifest here? You invite it in. But sometimes we want so bad, we start internalizing. And what the Lord showed me, he said, look, he goes, where do I live? Where does the Holy Spirit live? Jesus said he will be with you forever in you. But you got to know, just because he's in you and flowing through the kingdom of God within you, he is very separate than you. His ministry mandate is very different than yours. You have a position, he has a position. You have a responsibility, he has. And if you start taking his responsibility, especially internally like that, guess what? You build up a wall. And he says, okay, if you think you can do it. He's such a gentleman. He'll just say, have at it. Because what happens, you don't actually believe he can produce that. So somehow I got to get in there and help him out. You wouldn't believe how huge that is. Can you say, huge? Big. Well, let me say it like this in businessman terms. You're a businessman. You're called. You're appointed. You have a business. And sometimes businesses have highs and sometimes they have lows. Because you're in your God-ordained appointment. Who supplies all the needs of your business according to his riches and glory? You or him? If you think it's you, you're going to have a hard road. Because sooner or later, he's going to show you you can't do it. Sooner or later, he's going to show you not by might, not by power, by my spirit. Inevitably, it's going to be Joanne's word, effortless. Joanne said, if it's not effortless, God ain't doing it, you're doing it. Because there is a position of effortlessness, and you've got to know him like that. But if you don't get in that effortless place, and you don't let him do what he does best, you step on his toes. When you start internalizing, say, well, I got to make this happen. Ah! And you get all this going on, the Holy Ghost, I can't work with that. You're frustrating me. That's my place. Why are you taking that? Why are you doing that? A lot of times we get exercise in that. We go sit in the corner and say, okay, God, when you're ready, he says, I don't need that either. I need you, but I don't need all of you. I need you, but I don't need you in the way. I'm like, well, how do I participate without being the way? He said, understand what your position is and understand what mine is. I'm the one manifesting. I am the one who will materialize it. You are called to bear witness. Bear witness of what? The truth. What truth? The truth that you see. The truth that you hear. Peter said, we cannot but speak the things that we see and hear. What you see in Christ. At the right hand of God, you're called to bear the testimony of it. I'm called to speak it. I'm called the witness of it. And I am called not to stand his way, but let him have it. Boy, this morning, I'm telling you right now, I backed out. I said, no, because I had a habit. I'm breaking habits right now. I have a habit of internalizing. You don't know it, but I internalize a lot of stuff, especially in service time, before he gets going, you know. I backed out. I said, nope, that's your ministry. It's not mine. And I'm telling you, this glory came. The most beautiful glory come filling up. You know what? It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you think he's filling you with? He received. There's one word to describe everything Jesus received on your behalf. Fullness. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. It pleased the Father in him all fullness. But John said, of his fullness we have all received. You know why? Because the mighty Holy Ghost sent from the Father came to the right hand, and he said, he will receive of mine all things the Father has given me. I've granted him my fullness to come and manifest it to my body, my bride. He wants to manifest that fullness in the body. So when he fills you, if he's not glorifying himself, what's he filling you with? How many times I'm reading the book of Acts, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you think he's filling you with? He's not glorifying himself, so he's filling you with the fullness of Christ. He explodes that fullness in an atmosphere. He explodes that fullness in manifested blessings. He explodes that fullness in power, in glory. He explodes the wisdom in you. Why? He's been granted the mandate to release and reveal all of that to you. Booyah! Go to John 15:26. I'll tell you the other day. I just got the revelation. I and I got hit with some news, some financial stuff, and it wasn't exciting. And you know what the first thing you do when you get hit with something like that, a strong one? You go and you go, you know, you got to go deal with it with the Lord. And the Lord just spoke to me right there. He said, is that your job or mine? Right there. And he said, what did I tell you? I said, oh, you are the one that supplies our needs. Now, how do you know it's the Holy Ghost? Who's shedding the love of God abroad in your heart? The love of the Father in Romans says it was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He's shedding the love the Father gave to the Son. He received that and he's shedding that abroad in you. In Ephesians 3, he says that you be strengthened in your inner man with all might by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit received the might and the strength from the right hand of God in the form of inheritance. And he's releasing that through you and in you. He is that agency of transmittance. If we get out of the way, he's also transferring the blessing. He is materializing the blessing. But if you get in the way and get in doubt and unbelief, you block him from the manifestation. And the first thing I said, no, that's not my ministry. That's not my responsibility. I'm doing what God called me to do. Now, if you sit at a couch potato and eat potato chips all day and say, well, God's just going to manifest it. I don't have anything to do with this. You will go broke. And somebody else will have to pick up the slack on your life. But if you're doing what you're called to do and you're walking with God, understand that that is his position to transfer that, but he needs you. But he just don't need you in the way. Amen? So what is our position? Glad you asked. John 15. The second half of this message, I'm going to go to the Lord's ministry. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. Hear that? Which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. How's he testify? Hebrews. The Holy Spirit confirming the word with signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration, manifestation, materialization. That's his job. But what's your job? Verse 27, you also shall bear witness. You also shall bear witness. Look at Acts 5:32, and then we're going to go to the Lord's ministry. And we are his witnesses of these things. We are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. And so also is the Holy Ghost. You see the partnership? He is going to witness with you. He must have you see and hear. You understand? Jesus himself said, I only do those things I see my Father doing. He needs your ministry to see and hear. When you're in an accident, have you ever been an eyewitness to an accident? that if I were to eyewitness an accident and they called me to give testimony of what happened and I couldn't make it, but I told Chuck all about it. And I said, I'm going to send Chuck as my eyewitness. They're going to say, absolutely not. If a judge won't receive secondhand testimony, how much more the judge of heaven needs first eyewitness testimony, firsthand testimony. I can give you the knowledge of how to find him, but if you're not seeing him yourself, you can't go because pastor told me. The Holy Ghost says, no, I come to manifest eyewitness truth. You got to testify with him. Especially what you see and hear. When Peter said, we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. What do you think he's talking about? He's not talking about this natural realm. They already said they took with us. These men have been with Jesus. They're unlearned and ignorant. I'll take unlearned and ignorant with the Holy Ghost any day. Because look, having superior knowledge and theological knowledge and all of that, if you can't make it work, you're just running around with a big head with a whole bunch of brainiac information. You're so full of brainiac knowledge. But I mean, to have that manifest, that's us seeing and hearing. That's just knowing knowledge. 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 Seeing and hearing is coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ, being found in him. Paul said, if I'm found in him in the right hand of God as I see and hear. Where do you think all this stuff we've seen? We've seen it in the Word. We experience in our spiritual senses. Thomas said, I won't believe until I see him in his resurrected state. I want to see the nails. Jesus said, look at him, Thomas, right there. He said, but blessed is he who can believe without seeing. I do see with my spiritual senses, and I believe it 100% wholeheartedly because I have experienced the glories of the right hand. I see the right hand as it's defined here. And what I see in here, worthy is a lamb that's received that power. He's received those riches. I know he's entrusted the Holy Spirit, so I come to bear testimony to my circumstance if I have to. The no! This is all a lie. He has received riches on my behalf. He has received power on my behalf. And this circumstance does not line up. I speak what I see and hear. And he manifests. I bear the testimony. But that's my job. I don't have to get all generated and worked up and say, ah! You don't need to need your flesh. You ever seen people try to move in flesh? Think they're in the spirit? You know why? They're all worked up in the fight. They think all that stuff's going to get God to do something. You don't have to get him to do anything he already wants to do. You got to be with him in your position and your assignment and know what your responsibility is. And you got to let him do his responsibility and don't go stepping on his toes. Learn how to surrender what's his and what's yours. I bear testimony of the truth. He manifests testimony. I don't manifest his presence. I don't manifest his power. Why do you think revivals have fallen in the past? Why do you think they've gone into the flesh? They started pure and got in the flesh because of the pressure. When you have 50,000 people out there wanting to see God do something, that day in, day out pressure, you'll start internalizing that, like, you got to do it. As soon as you start doing it, that's when the Holy Spirit begins the process of withdrawal. If you don't know he's withdrawal, because the enemy is usually coming in and replacing it with sensationalism. He's coming in and replacing it with what man can do. And generally, they don't know how it all stopped. It just stopped. Broke down. Holy Spirit withdrew from it. Man decided he would try to carry it. You'll never carry what belongs to God, it will bury you. That's why if you're heavy laden, you're taking on false responsibilities that only the Holy Spirit can do for you. Nobody else. If you don't know what his job is, you're going to try to do it. You may not go put your hands on him, but when you start internalizing like it's your job, that's where it starts. That's where you block him right there. Know what your assignment is. Know what his assignment is. And you'll start seeing manifestation. You're going to see a whole lot more. Because he wants to bring the whole enchilada down. He wants to bring all of it.
That fullness he wants to transfer into the body of Christ. That's the hope of his calling mentioned in Ephesians 1, that the fullness he received gets transferred into the body in manifestation here in this jurisdiction. Amen? Go to John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus. Now let's look at the Lord's ministry himself and see if he got this. I'm going to give you his words today. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. That was the Son of God that just said that. He only does what he seeth the Father doing. Wait a minute. He is the Son of God. He can do anything. Yes, he can. But because he came to be your representative and became your prototype, he came to represent man before the Father. That responsibility was surrendered to the Father, or that power. He came to be under the authority of the Father, to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see this over and over again in the book of John. He knew he had to do it as a man. Do you understand that? He was the Son of God because God spoke through him the covenant, but he had to do everything he did as a man. Okay? And I go to verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. He had to surrender his position temporarily as the Son, or the power that he had already with the Father. He had surrendered that to do it under the Father's authority and by the Holy Spirit. He knew what his assignment was. He knew what the Father's was. He knew what the Holy Spirit is. Until we get this right, we're going to keep stepping on God's toes. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He knew he was sent. In John 17, he told his disciples, he was praying to the Father, he said, Father, they are not of this world, but I send them back into the world. Well, you're not of the world. They never left the world. Or did they? Their spirit left, because their spirit went to be ascended with him. Raised together, made to sit together. Where do you think he sent them from? I send them into the world. Where did he receive the gifts from? He ascended on high, received gifts from men, apostles, prophets. Guess what? He calls you up into the right hand to receive your gifting. He sends you from the right hand of God by the power and with the Holy Ghost to come and bear the testimony of a resurrected Christ. That is the message. Our King that we serve is not dead. He is alive. He inherited a kingdom in the right hand of God. And we come to bear testimony. It's a very real place. An invisible kingdom is going to manifest before your eyes. You may know this King we talk about is very real. He said, I send them into the world. Who sent them? Jesus. I send them into the world, John 17. You're sent into the world. How are we going to get sent if we never get to the place we're supposed to be sent from? John 6. I'm going to walk you right up through John here and show you this. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 7, verse 15. Then the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters? He's never learned. He is the letter. Jesus answering said, my doctrine. Look at this. Now, was he the Word of God? He was the Logos that sat with the Father before he became a man. Notice what he just said. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. He knew he was in a sent position under the direct authority of the Father, being anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he knew that in his own deity as the Son of God, he could not perform one miracle. Not then. Because if he did, you could never operate like he did. And what did he say? The works that I do, you will do also, and greater than these. All right, go to John 8. Verse 28,
Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Boy, when you get what responsibility belongs to you, and what belongs to the Father, what belongs to the Holy Ghost, what now belongs to him as the risen, resurrected Son of God that inherited all things, he now is in his fullness. He now has received the kingdom from his Father. I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things to you. Notice what he says, as I'm taught, I bear witness of what he says to me, I say to you. First-hand witness. 29, for he that sent me is with me. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, 8:42, you would love me. I proceeded forth and came from him. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. Now, go over to Acts 10 real quick. I'll interject this one. What am I doing? I'm dividing your responsibility. He was sent as your example. He was the firstborn. You know how he's operating? He was operating as the firstborn of many brethren. He came to be the firstborn of all that come after him. Oh, who are we anyway? That's why in Hebrews 2, he said he was not ashamed to call you a brother. Because in the right hand of God, he shares that position with you as the firstborn to the Father. That's powerful. Acts 10, 37. The word I say unto you, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38. How God anointed, how the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We know the Holy Spirit was manifesting the healing, but watch what Jesus said. Go back over to John, John 14. Philip asked him, show us the Father. He goes, Philip, you've been with me so long a time and you asked me a question? Who do you think's doing all this? Notice he didn't say he was doing all of it. Watch this in John 14. Jesus said to him, I have been so long, verse 9. I have been so long a time with you, Philip, and you have not known me. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Who do you think has been talking to you? See how submitted he was? See how he knew what his role was? Notice what else he says. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He goes, I'm not even performing these works. When you get that revelation that that's not your responsibility, but you've been given the responsibility to testify of what you see and hear, direct eyewitness testimony from God, that is your responsibility, and you don't start internalizing whether you're in the business arena, whether you're in the walking with God business, whether you're in the ministry. You got to recognize what his job is, what his mandate is, and what your mandate is. And you have to get very at rest with that, because if you don't, you're going to let a lot of stuff in. You're going to start backpacking a lot of things. You're going to start internalizing things that don't belong to you. When you do, you're going to start taking on false responsibility, and it's the utter form of unbelief. Because if that's his mandate, why would I even think for a second I could do that? But my mandate is to bear witness, and don't think for a second he can go manifest without your witness. He cannot manifest without your eyewitness account of what you see and hear directly from God. Booyah! Everyone say amen! All right, go to 12:49. For I have not spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. what I should say and what I should speak. How do you know what you're supposed to say and speak? Because you're probably not called to say and speak what I say and speak. That's why you got to know God. What we should be doing as preachers and teachers and all the fivefold is to equip you to know God yourself, to find God so you can see and hear what it is you're supposed to be seeing and hear, so you can receive your mandate like everybody else receives it. And so your mandate, whether it be a businessman, whether it be a ministry, father, family, you receive your mandate and you speak the things you see and hear. And the Holy Ghost manifest it. With signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration, confirmation, materializing what is spiritual into the natural. I am focused right now with a determination to find what that spiritual inheritance, it's spiritual, but it's got to get here into materialization. When you start seeing the kingdom, he said, when I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do you think the finger of God is? The right hand of God being stretched forth by the Holy Spirit. He's the finger, see? Doop. You know why he called him the finger? He doesn't even need the hand to jerk a devil out of somebody. It may take three guys to hold somebody down in convulsion, but the Holy Spirit only needs the tip of his finger. People get super demonic strength when those devils start living in them. I know this makes people nervous, but devils do live in people. You better know they do. Jesus said, when I cast out devils by the finger of God, he goes, you know the kingdom's come down upon you, and they know it too. Boop, you're out of there. Man, we'll pray over somebody for 20 years. But when we know how to get that finger released, boop, he is jerked out of there. You're screaming, you're hollering, you're asking what name? Well, what's your name? Like, you know his name's going to cause him to come out. It's the power that you're carrying. Or rather, the one that's with you, knowing that he's with you. And he's going to manifest what you have seen and heard from the Father. And so what God wants to do by the Holy Spirit, you know what his job was? It's to materialize a spiritual kingdom here on the earth so the sinner could see it. And recognize that is not of this world. Your God is real. Right now we have what's called a word-only gospel. Our word-only gospel is I speak the word. We have word-only, but we have very little demonstration anywhere of a materialized spiritual kingdom in the earth. And the Holy Ghost has been virtually shut out, stepped on, whatever the case. But he's not flowing right now. Well, it's not time. So God just sent him so he can just sit in you with all the kingdom of God with him waiting to come out. But it's not time. It's been time from day one. It's been time since Jesus went to the cross. Now listen to this. Anna, hand me this. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. My job is to believe. My job is to bear eyewitness testimony. What I see and hear through my direct relationship with God, his job is to supply the power of materialization of that kingdom in the earth. He needs me. I need him. We are in a position of co-laboring, and I am under his authority for direction. They said it seemed good to the Holy Ghost in us. The Holy Ghost forbade them to preach in Asia. He was in charge. They wanted to go to Asia, and he said, nope, not right now. Don't go doing something. He's not with you. He's not going with you everywhere. You're going to go with him. He's with you, but you're going to listen and be directed by him. And if you're in something he didn't lead you into, you're not going to see him manifest. And if you are in something he did lead you into and you're all over stepping on his toes, he's not going to manifest. If you're internalizing everything like it's your responsibility to get that kingdom to manifest. Walking around, weeping and crying, oh, win, win, God, win, win, win. That's not going to get him to move because you got a crocodile tears coming. Not unless those are induced by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost can induce some serious when he's praying through you. But if you're just doing that in the flesh, like somehow that's going to make him respond. He has to have your eyewitness testimony of the right hand of God, a resurrected Savior. Why? Because all the inheritance is there, and that is where your calling and ministry is. And when you see that, and when you bear witness of it, and when you visit that place and you see it, when you come back, you are full of what you're supposed to say. Where do you think I'm getting right now what I'm saying to you? I didn't come up with this. This gospel was revealed, the revelation of Jesus himself. The Holy Ghost shared this with me. Man did not teach me this. Somebody asked me yesterday, what seminary did you go to? I said, Holy Ghost, School of the Holy Ghost. I said, because he's the best teacher out there. When you get to know him, there's no better. He will not lead you astray. He'll teach this Bible. He'll teach it to you the right way. It might take him some time, because a lot of questions we have are rooftop questions, and we have no understanding. It's kind of like someone in first grade wanting a 12th grade calculus class from God, and you got a first grade mentality. God said, you know, I need a couple years to get your mentality up where I can start talking to you about these things. This is kind of an advanced learning center here, believe it or not. I know some people, we just blow them out of the saddle, and I understand that. And I had to make the choice. I'm either going to back off or go for it. And so I said, we're going to go for it, and I'll let God train them up. Sometimes people choke on this stuff here. It's too much. If you hang around, you'll get into the groove. You hang around the water bank here, you'll fall in. You'll find out, come on in, the water is good. Amen. John 5, I want you to see this, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Okay? Notice he said in John 12 or 14 a minute ago, I can do nothing of myself. It's the Father doing the works. But here he says, my Father's working, and I'm working. You know why? Because he's working through you. So you got to be a part of the equation, but you can't get in the way. He knew, I don't do this. He does it. I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost. He was sent directly from the Father, and the Holy Spirit anointed him. We are sent directly from Jesus in his name. We bear his name, and the Holy Spirit anoints us because he's been given that manifestation. He's been given that inheritance to manifest it here into the earth. All right? Okay, now go to Luke 22. I love this. Well, if you'll just let the word of God divide, because sometimes you don't know how much you get in the way. You don't know how much your unbelief is working, because he's working through you. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are flowing the issues. What did he say? Out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit that not yet been given. Why is he the Holy Spirit? You know, I knew, even when I didn't know this, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. He wasn't doing it of himself, the river. I didn't have enough revelation. I knew it. So I only gave you half the verse all the time. Say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now I can say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. Do you know why? He brought the river with him. It was given to him at the right hand of God. The fullness of Christ was brought. He's living in there, and he's going to flow it out of the kingdom of God within you. It's going to come out of your operation. Multiple plural rivers. The fullness of all the blessings. He wants the whole thing here. He did not purchase that inheritance on your behalf to sit there for 2,000 years for it not to get in manifestation in his bride so she could reveal it to the world, her beauty in him. That's good preaching, Holy Spirit. All right, Luke 22, verse 24. There was also strife among them. No. You got to be kidding. Strife? Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Listen, God doesn't have any problem with you aspiring to greatness in him. He just has a problem with the way you aspire to greatness. So he's going to mark the way the world does it and the way his kingdom does it. Boy, if you get this, when this hit me last week, shaka. So there also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said to them, now what he's going to do is mark greatness in the world system first, how the world goes about it. Because he's speaking from the position of a king, and he's going to say it. In a minute, but watch this. He said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over one another for greatness. And they
that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. In other words, they're the benefactors because they know how to exercise authority. And that's how greatness is achieved in this system, is you have to exercise authority over someone else to become great. That's how kings rule and reign. It's how countries rule and reign, through the exercising of authority over another. He goes, but in my kingdom, that's not the way it happens. But you, it shall not be so. Now, I know every one of you heard this, and every one of you know this, but I'm going to give you another revelation on this. He that is greatest, say greatest, among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief of the greatest, as he that doth serve. So he said, if you want greatness in my kingdom, you're going to have to serve. So what do we do as human beings and thinking like human beings to find greatness in God? I got to go serve. Give me the toilet ministry. Paul did say, be servant-hearted, humble. There is a position there that every one of us have attained to, but that's not what he's talking about right here. Because he's talking about the greatest of the great will be your servant. Why? He's going to give you a little parable. He's going to ask you a question. Verse 27, which is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth it? Is it not he that sitteth at the meat? Yet I, as a king, is among you as a servant. You know what he's saying? He said, look, in this system, the king that sits at the table is greater than the servant that's serving him. He goes, but you in my kingdom have been called to serve the kings and priests. And the greater in my kingdom is the one that knows how to get it from the Father and bring it here, and understands the dynamics and the mechanisms of manifesting that kingdom here in the earth as a servant. The greater one in my kingdom is the one that knows how to take that blessing that's originating in heavenly places, take that kingdom and serve it into material here and lay it on the table for others to come and eat from it. Because the ones eating in this kingdom don't know how to eat from him. They don't know how to eat from the Father themselves, and they need you to serve it to them. Luke 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when you makest a dinner or a supper. Notice you're making it, so you're the servant here, right? Call not your friends, your brethren, neither their kinsmen, thy rich neighbors. That's not the supper God's having you serve right now. Lest they bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when you make us the supper, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, and thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, why would he tell you to make a supper, to call the poor, maimed, lame, and blind, unless what's on that table is going to do something about their condition of being poor, maimed, lamed, and blind? Greatness in the kingdom is the one behind the table serving it, because they know how to get that kingdom into manifestation here. The maimed, the lame, and blind, they don't know how to reach him. They are the one captivated by the devil, but the true servant in the kingdom knows how to get that kingdom and spread it on a table before humanity. Isn't that awesome? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. You call us servants. We are servants of the Most High. And thy kingdom come into this earth system. Spread that table. We will testify of that table. You have received the power, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you will manifest that table to the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We are called to serve it. We are called to testify of it. And oh, mighty Holy Spirit, you are called to materialize it. That which is in the right hand of God, Jesus, you have receive the kingdom from the Father. Worthy are you, Jesus, that has received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. All power in heaven and earth has been granted to you. The Father gave it all to you. All that the Father has is yours. And you have given it to the Holy Spirit to manifest it, to materialize it. And you have given us the honor of being eyewitnesses of thy right hand, to speak it into the world, to spread the table, to call them, to speak to them, and for the Holy Spirit to serve the kingdom to broken humanity. This city will be saved. This city will see the demonstration of the Most High God. For we testify of a Melchizedek government, a king-priest government that will manifest, that will multiply, that will increase with signs, miracles, wonders, confirmation, demonstration, materialization, and manifestation. And Father, we wait. We know what our responsibility is, and we know that which is your mandate, Holy Spirit. And we're thankful. We are thankful to have you as such a teacher, to understand the revelation you've given us. We know that within us, it's not by our might, it's not by our power. We cannot produce not an ounce of that power in ourselves. We are called to testify of it. Holy Spirit, it is you that fills us with the fullness of Christ. You fill us, and you'll fill this whole city up with it. It's your people. We wait for your testimony. We thank you. We give you glory, praise, and honor. Let this wisdom be sealed in our hearts. In your mighty name.